already in the past meetings and what he has spoken today. I think it was really important. It was really enlightening. And when we speak about revelation, and it's always like that, that we have to see something. Otherwise, it was not enough. I would not say it was nothing, but it not enough if we did not see anything. Lord, we give our continuous fellowship to you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you make us see something together, that we see you and that we see you on the throne, and that we see what you're doing today and what you will be doing. Lord, give us your rich light and give us your revelation, Lord.
Let's begin even earlier. How did he come to the throne? Which path did lead him there? What he's doing today there? And what is standing against on the other side? It is really interesting that sometimes the work on the throne, small things are standing against them, even if the Lord is standing on the throne already. Sometimes we discover small things which are blocking his working. But now to the question, how did the Lord come to the throne? It has been spoken about in the last meetings. His way began on the earth. He became a man. He lived a life on earth. And this was the beginning on his way to the throne. On the one hand, he performed a work for to take away our sins. He became flesh, but it was even more. He lived a life, but this life was focused on the work and on the goal, even onto the throne. Let's read the verses in Philippians. Philippians 2. Let's read it in the meeting hall in Stuttgart. Philippians 2, 6 to 11. Let's begin with the sisters. Philippians 2, 6 to 11. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and giving him the name which is above every name. That at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and on those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God, to the Father. Praise the Lord, our Jesus was such a man, even he was in the kind of God, he came down from the throne, but he did not consider it as a robbery to be equal with God, but to made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. He has lived a life as a man in purity and holiness and did not live it alone. He did not did it alone, but he called people into this purpose. He called them to follow that, to follow him. At that time, he took man into the work of God. But after that, we see in the first 3.5 years, when the Lord was working as a man on the earth, the possibilities to work together with the Lord have been quite limited. Sometimes the people have been a hindering for Jesus. They did not understand what he was doing. This morning we talked about the mountain of Wirkel, and they did not understand that the Lord is so much greater than the other two which appeared there, and Moses proposed to build 3 tents for all of them. And God did not align with it and took away the other two. A cloud was coming, and a voice was saying in Matthew 17:15, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." This is what the followers need to learn as well. They came from another background, in a background where Moses did count much. He was one of the greatest. He was the most humble man on earth, a quite special man. But at that time, the Lord has been there. And this is what the followers need to learn as well, part by part. The Lord is saying clearly, hear him. And today he wants to clarify that as well, hear him. When he lived on earth, many people have discovered that the Lord has been a special man. There was a situation. He has been working and has been fed up 5,000 people. And they even wanted to crown them to the king in John 6:15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. What did you do in that situation? The Romans haven't been very great rulers at that time. Hadn't that been a situation to end that rulership and begin the rulership of Jesus? The Lord wanted to perfect his goal and to go to the cross. Let's continue in Luke 9:51. Luke 9:51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The Lord steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem because he knew that he has to go to the cross. And he has carried that cross. Let's continue in Hebrews 12:1-2. Hebrews 12:1-2.
Und Clemens, magst du lesen?
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord has seen a joy which has been laid down before him, and therefore he endured the cross. Let's continue in Revelation 3:21. Where are the young brothers? Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He has overcome. Do you remember one verse? Behold, it has overcome, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he did not only overcome, but he has also sat down himself on the throne. This path went through death and resurrection, and it ended up on the throne, sitting today there, and is working his work there. What happened after the resurrection? We can read it in Acts 1, verse 9. There, the people asking the Lord, Lord, now do you want... Let's dive into Acts 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They desired him to reign as the king, because the cross has been performed, he has been resurrected, he has shown, okay, death and resurrection is completed. And now they are saying, now it's a time. Acts 1:9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The Lord received him. A cloud was taking him away. Wouldn't it be more wonderful if the Lord stays on that earth without ascending? Would it be more wonderful if he had seared up his kingdom? But the Lord intended to do something else. And I think this is important to see it today, if we are talking about the throne and the Lord sitting on the throne, then there's also the question, what is he doing there? Or why is he sitting on the throne? What is his work today? This is what we call the headline, God's work in this age. Headline of meeting 3. The cross is done, the resurrection is done, he has been ascended to heaven, but now? We are seeing in Acts what happens next. The Spirit was poured out. Before that, he blew it into the followers, but then it has been visible, and the building up of the church has started. And as the one, we are seeing him in the beginning of Revelation as a Christ who is there for his churches. And I think this is very precious to see this today. The one who is sitting on the throne is not only sitting on the throne, But the one sitting on the throne is the one who is walking among the churches today, among the seven golden lampstands. On one hand, he had a position in heaven, but we are also seeing him working on this earth today, and especially among the churches. Let's head over to Revelation 1, 10 to 12. Revelation 1, 10 to 12. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Today we don't want to speak so much about this, but the Son of Man is to be seen in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Even if John is turning, the first thing he notices is the seven golden lampstands. Isn't that special? What does the Lord wants to show us? He wants to present himself to us. And it's absolutely important if we read Revelation. If we do not see the Lord himself, we have missed the most important part. But after Revelation 1, when we have not seen the churches, we have missed Christ as well. They are strongly connected. Christ is walking just in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. It is not to separate. It is his work today and here on the earth. We can continue where it can be seen how the Lord the Lord's resurrection is strongly connected to the building up of the churches. It is inseparable. Everything which is written down can be experienced by us personally. His death has been happened to set us free for our salvation, that we can experience the eternal life. But it's not only personally for us, it's going further. It's just linking until his purpose to It's linking to the purpose of the building up of the churches with his holy ones. Let's read Ephesians 4, 7 to 12. We've touched it this morning already, that the word is our perfected food. So it's precious to dive into the word again and to see what the Lord wants to reveal there. Ephesians 4, 7 to 12. Ephesians 4, 7 to 12. Let's have it read by someone online. But to each one's grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to man. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's have it read by only one brother or sister. Otherwise, it could be hardly to understand. Let's continue with 10. He who descended is also the one ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. For he equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Until there. We could desire to read it all together here. The technique is not working sufficiently already, but we will have a conference in this meeting hall again. But nevertheless, we are called into the one body together, and we are partaker of the grace. And what I enjoy is that he ascended in the heights. Ephesians is writing about it as well, of the one who is in heights today. And he led captivity captive and gave gifts to man, verse 8. He had those who have been captive led in captivity for him. He did not perform this work for some, but for all who believed, and all who have been in captivity has been freed for his purpose. He has been ascended. 9. Now with this, he ascended, what does it mean? But he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. This is what we see in Revelation 5 as well, for that he fulfill everything and perfect everything. He has walked a path below down to the lowest parts, and then above death, resurrection, and ascending. And he has done it to fulfill everything. He has taken the whole path to spread out this fullness today. Where is this fullness today? We do not see it everywhere, right? It is not visible at every place, but in his churches, his body, his fullness of the one who perfects everything in all. And there he sent apostles and shepherds and teachers. But why? That the holy ones are equipped. Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. This is what he is doing today. He wants to build up his people in his body. What for are the servants? There are prophets, there are teachers. But what are they for? They are today there for equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Everything is aiming that the Lord is building us up for the body of Christ. Therefore, he is ascending until the throne, that he perfects everything, and that everything has been given unto his body today. Is it too theoretically for you? What did you say? At the lunch, I asked my children, where do you want to be more likely? When the times the Lord has been on earth or the times he has been ascended? Which part of the work do you want to be more likely? Together with the Lord, who has performed wonders on this earth, fed up the 5,000 people, healing, but as well going to the cross. Limited as a man? Or do you want to be in his work he's doing today? Here and today. I'm not asking anyone personally, but maybe there's someone who is thinking, I wanted to be there at that ages. That ascent ages. It could be an indicate that we should approach to the Lord again and are asking him, Lord, show me the work you're doing today. Show me what is the wonderful things. Lord, show me why you haven't stayed on earth as a man and perfected the work as a man here. Here we have, I would say, somehow a responsibility in need that we all see why the Lord has ascended. Why he is reigning a work from the throne, which is although visible on earth and is therefore so precious. But we are lack of time this evening, and words are even not enough for this revelation. We can read much and many things and even bring on examples about the wonderful working of the Lord and the building up of his body, but I please all of you to have this to even demand from the Lord this appreciation and this revelation for his work. The Lord has shown us many things already. He has shown us the building up of his body. If not so, we wouldn't be here. He has put us inside his churches already. Not even as guests, but as partakers. But as well, we have to ask the Lord and to demand from the Lord, show me the preciousness of the building up of the body of Christ. Show me why this is your work today. If you're reading this, you could have the impression that there's only one work. Why does the living God only has one work? Ask someone who has power on earth, and if he's doing only one thing, I would say at least he's sitting at the board of directors at another company. But the living God has only one work. the work of ministry. What should that be, such a work? Lord, show us this work. Show us your work in these ages. And this work is somehow a heavenly and spiritually work. And on the other hand, it's work on the earth. It's the work which has its place on earth. It's no longer anywhere in heaven, but he wants to have it in the churches, not only in Stuttgart, but in many places. He wants to reveal it. He wants to perform his work. So today, the seven spirits are sent out. The Lord is on the throne, but the seven spirits, they are working one work on earth. It is wonderful, right? Until I'm not seeing who is listening tonight, but at least until the Ukraine or Poland, maybe USA. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I'm living in my small village and I'm alone by myself. And this is important, like our brother said this morning, the seven spirits has sent out to run the whole earth, no matter where we are. Tonight we are some people, maybe at other places are only 2 or 15, but the seven spirits are sent out to perform his work. And we trust in the work of the Spirit. And if the Lord hasn't ascended, the Spirit wouldn't come into reality. He wouldn't be able to blow the Spirit into the followers. In the summer conference, we read a lot about that the Lord say, it's good that I will go away from you. And we have seen it has been well that the Lord has ascended. Otherwise he would be in Israel and we all had to go to Israel to meet the Lord. But he has ascended and been poured out his Spirit to send out his, to reach every person who wants to touch him in every nation. Not limited to one space or one location. And although it's very distinctive and very, very concrete, it is wonderful that tonight we can partake virtually online. We are sorry for not inviting everyone in Plieningen. It would be even more precious. But the Lord wants to be very tangible to build up his churches and to reveal his glory. On one hand, he's sitting on the throne. On the other hand, he wants to show on places. Some of them are named in Revelation, but on many more, he wants to build up his churches. But what is his church? Is it this place in Filderhauptstraße? Don't we say Sundays we are going to the church? It sounds like that the church is only something for Sunday where you can join. But what else is the church if it's not our meeting hall? What is the church? What is Ephesians writing? Let's read the answer in the word. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are the church. Without all of us, if we are going home, then they are just dead stones here. Some brothers and sisters are living here, but aside of that, the meeting hall does not have anything in common with the church. What I want to point out is that the church is nothing abstract. Sometimes we think the church is a Sunday meeting. Or maybe the church is so far away from me. But the church is starting where we have brothers and sisters to be able to fellowship with. It doesn't stop there to have fellowship, but it starts there. In Ephesians 4, it continues in verse 16, the joint and knits of supplies, where we have supply, the body starts. It is part of the body. After the definition of the word, two are a little less. There has to be more. But we do not focus on this tonight. I want to point out that the church is so tangible, so personally, so concrete. In the way that the followers could be near Jesus and be able to partake in the fellowship, and then the Lord ascended, did he leave them alone there? No, he has knit them together to the church, to his body, that they would be able to build us his church together with him. We mustn't think, oh, in that times it would be so precious. Today we have the possibility to join together and to be knit together very concretely for the building up of the churches. The meeting, when we assemble, are a place where the Lord is knitting together the parts, where we receive of him for the building up of his body. He is performing his work very practically here on this earth in his churches. And this is healing full. For sure, you can read any book. This is okay as well. They are good books which are interpreting the word quite great. This morning has been said that, okay, a book is helping as well, but the practical church living is something completely different. Why is that the case? Maybe you're saying, the brothers and sisters I assemble with, I know them for many years. I'm more into reading a book. I've found something there. But after putting the book aside to the shelf, you're not building up. You are not built up with him. Or maybe someone is watching a video, a film, an interpretation. Maybe it is right. Maybe something is not. But it has been building up. Or edifying. But are you built up? Are you built up with the person who has spoken in this certain video? Probably not. Do they see where you're standing? Do they consider you in their prayers, in your practical needs? Can they help? Can they hand anything out to you? What you're needing in addition? Which is not a wonder, an encouraging blessing, but is as although quite right for your situation. The body of Christ is so wonderful. It is a practical resurrection. Sometimes we are seeing that we have needs. If we are seeing and we have defects, but if we have built up together with the brothers and sisters, some things are coming into presence. They are brought into presence. You say at some, maybe at some points, I'm always seeing anything bad. I see the brothers right beside of me and see he is lacking of salvation. But sometimes we see I'm lacking myself of salvation. This is building up as well. Then we are praying, Lord, I need salvation, I need spirit, I need more of a throne, I need love for my brother, the one who's sitting next to me. He is not prepared as well as the one in the video. The one maybe whatever, but this is the one with who we are built up. This is the building up of the body of Christ. This is something completely different, presented to us by the Lord. Needs of supply. The Lord may be merciful to us. Needs of presentation. And to treasure the holy things, you know, in church life, the word has been treasured as well. Even myself, if I'm sharing something with you, maybe some brother is supplementing anything, or I have forgot something, or I'm saying something wrong which needs to be corrected. But what I want to say is that we have the body. In the body, the word has an additional quality. It has been tested. It is been tested. It is becoming, it is revealing that you may have discovered something and it has been revealed in the body. Maybe you have found perfect looking verses, but it did not fit into the body of the Lord in the church life. It is revealing onto the body of Christ. We want this which is good for the building up, which is proven for the building up and which will last. Which has duration. Let's continue in this chapter, Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. Ephesians 4. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Lord Jesus, that we are not been put from side to side, but the throne is steady, and the Lamb on the throne is steady there. And there's nothing to be shaken. It has been there for eternity. We can count on that. No matter what happens on earth, the throne is unshakingly standing. On the earth, many things are in motion, which are in motion due to many waves. And of the wind of knowledge, many things are in motions or in trends. There are religious trends. It is quite impressive. I have some believers in my larger family. You could travel thousands of kilometers and you discover the same thing, which is moving in the saints. I don't want to judge anyone. But let us stick to the truth in love. Let us not follow the trends, but the word. Let us stick to the truth in love. The truth will last. Let us hold on to that. It lasts 2,000 years already. Even this book, the last book which has been added, it has been before almost 2,000 years. And this word is very reliable. If we stick to this word, we have a steady anchor. And the purified word, the holy word, to stay under the rulership of the Lord. And this word may guide us to the goal. It may help us until the perfection. As well as Revelation showed everything unto the New Jerusalem. That's how the word of truth will carry us unto the end. We don't need to, even if the Lord is coming quickly, we don't need to add anything. We only stick to the word in love. Isn't it wonderful to stick onto the word in love? The Lord wants to gain in us people who are loving the word and hold on to it. It is not a new knowledge. It is a truth. What we hold on to in love. Truth that let us stay steady like the throne in heavens, which is working within us something that lasts. Which will last until the goal is reached. This is wonderful, and therefore we should protect it from anything which could be mixed into. Maybe you say, the thing I have chosen is quite wonderful, and I know some things is not fitting well. No. What do you do? This morning it has been spoken about the sourdough, and I want to point it out once again. The sourdough is an interesting thing. If you're buying a sourdough bread, it is not completely out of sourdough. Just a very little part, the quite greater part is just stuff. You can't present a whole sourdough to someone. It is tasting completely sour and has not been able to be eaten. Sourdough only has a chance if it's mixed up with a lot of flour. The sourdough, if I'm able to formulate it that way, he is kneading the flour. If you put the sourdough mixing in the flour and sourdough bread is coming into presence. And that is how it works today with sourdough. The Lord is saying, be careful against sourdough today. You can say, oh, it's only a little bit. Yeah, that could be right. But a little sourdough sours the whole dough. Therefore, the Lord say, let us stick to the truth in love. And therefore grow in all parts in him who is the head. I have to say it because it's a danger for the word of God. It is very little and very small, but it's a huge danger. Therefore the Lord saying to his followers, guard yourself. Do not be thrown in directions by waves. The word lasts if it stays holy and it is protected from all these small influences. And therefore we all have that responsibility to stick to this word, that the Lord can perform his work within us. Then he can perform the wonderful work. With this point, I want to close up, but